The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus prayed, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace to you all from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Good and gracious Lord, may the words from my lips and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you as we go about our day today, this week, and always. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Some of us have had the privilege of having someone in our lives whom we can turn to daily to ask questions, to seek guidance, to bounce things off of. For some, that type of vulnerability and intimacy is very uncomfortable. For others that have had that type of intimacy, it has been a blessing. Jesus has had the blessing of an intimate relationship with God the Father in heaven, and prays that we would have the same oneness as he and his God the Father share. For the last Sunday here in this season of Easter, we are back to the eve of Jesus' redemption of the world on the cross in John's Gospel reading. It seems like we just read the story of his Last Supper, his crucifixion, death, and resurrection. And now between the lectionary time of his ascension and the disciples receiving the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, which we'll observe next Sunday, we are reminded that though Jesus would be crucified, die, rise, and ascend back to God the Father in heaven before he returns again, he prayed for his disciples. He prayed that they would be one, as he and God the Father are one. He prayed that they would be one, so that through their witness, others may come to believe that God sent him into the world, so that whoever believes in him may not perish, but have new and abundant and eternal life in him. He prayed for the disciples who were his followers then, and for us, his followers now, and for those who will become his followers through our witness of his love and grace. Though his ministry on earth was short, he knew that it would be up to the oneness that comes only through intimate relationship with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, the triune God, that would enable his ministry to welcome all people into his kingdom through the witness of his grace by his followers in the generations of followers or disciples that would follow. The lectionaries revisiting the eve of Jesus' crucifixion in this in-between time is to remind us that though Jesus has now ascended to God in heaven until he comes again, we have a mission to bear witness to his grace for all. And that even though the disciples then had differences, squabbles, doubts, questions, disbelief, and wonder, in spite of seeing all the signs that pointed to Jesus as the Messiah, as we too still do today, We are one in Jesus Christ, crucified and risen through our baptism. It is not anything that we do that saves us from sin and death, but Jesus' grace. Through his life, death, and resurrection on the cross for the forgiveness of sin, to which we are all tied in baptism, we can approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. On the eve of his death, Jesus prays what is known as the high priestly prayer for all to be one in him, as he and God the Father are one. And in doing so, he entrusts his community of followers, our community, and the world into God's care. Jesus' oneness with God the Father is a relationship of mutual love, trust, and interdependency as those who have had the privilege to have someone they turn to daily, always talk to before the day was over, have been able to have. Before beginning any ministry, Jesus would first retreat and pray to God the Father. Before his greatest hardship, where he would have to leave those whom he loved behind in this world, until he returned to them, risen from death on the cross, he prayed to God the Father for himself, for his beloved followers, and those who would become followers through their witness. Before his self-giving of his life for the lives of all of creation on the cross, he prayed to God in the Garden of Gethsemane that God would take this cup from him, but if not, that he would have the strength to do God's will. His intimate relationship with God helped him to do what God had asked him to do, and it gave him peace. Being both human and God, Jesus felt emotions of fear, anger, sadness, grief, joy, love, and hope, among many others. His intimate relationship with God, knowing that God loved him before the foundation of the world and had purpose for him to reconcile the world back to God, and his interdependency on God to help him through the challenging times in his ministry while he sacrificed his life for all, is something he modeled for his disciples. Often I find myself at wit's end after someone has aggravated me or hurt someone I love, and I fail to bear witness to God's grace. In reflecting back on it, I find that I have not stopped to pray about my response, but react instead out of my emotion and not out of God's love and grace given to me on the cross and in baptism and in Holy Communion. When talking to my children about how they should respond to someone who has hurt them, I wrestle with the desire to have them say something snide back or walk away and pray for the person. On one hand, I want them to stand up for themselves, and on the other, I want them to stand up for themselves by following Jesus and letting God guide them in their response to the offender. Anyone with families knows how difficult this can be. Our communication is often run by emotion or cut off from emotion, and we find ourselves wishing we could have said things or done things differently. Relationships are difficult, and Jesus knew his disciples would have difficulty in offering grace to those who have hurt us. So he prays for his disciples and for us, that we would be one as he and the Father are one, so that others may know and trust in him to forgive sin and make all things new, and then share that grace with all whom they encounter. Eva Marie was in the back of the car, and I was a passenger yesterday, and she had her slinky, which has a cross on it, and she just was filled with the Spirit, and she shared a sermon with me, And she said, you know, in Jesus, we are one. And yet, sometimes, when we don't turn to Jesus, we kind of are pulled apart. And yet, Jesus' grace brings us back to remind us that in him we have forgiveness. And in him, we are made whole. And in him, we can offer forgiveness to others. And if it's difficult, we can lift those people up to God, admitting that we have a hard time forgiving them, and letting God forgive them, and letting God care for them, and asking God to heal us in our hearts, in the wounds that we still bear, trusting that God loves us and cares for us and weeps with us when we are sad. Mother Teresa once said, God doesn't call us to be successful. He calls us to be faithful. We whom God knows intimately love so much that he sent his Son into the world for our salvation. And having claimed us in baptism as his own beloved forgiven child, are raised to new life in Jesus when we pray and confess our sin, trusting in his grace, which cleans our slate and gives us another chance to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. We were prayed for by Jesus over 2019 years ago and are still being prayed for by him and the saints who have gone before us, and who worship with us when we do our intercessory prayers, when we pray at home. We are prayed for by those who worship in different churches. We are prayed for at the synod staff meetings, at the ELCA churchwide gatherings, at our ministerium meetings, at interfaith gatherings, at ministry meetings, in connection groups, in family and friends' prayers. We are not alone, and we all need prayer. To be prayed for by Jesus, to be prayed for by others, is to feel valued, to feel loved, to feel cared for when we are most vulnerable. To be prayed for is to realize we don't have control over the future, but our life instead rests in the hands of the triune God who died for us, so that we might have abundant new and eternal life in him. To pray for others is to entrust their care to the triune God, when our ability to help or change things is limited or non-existent. When we turn to God in prayer, trusting in his love and the love of Jesus, we have hope in the face of darkness and despair. When we turn to God in prayer in the face of our limited powers, we are letting go and letting the unlimited one help us. May God grant us faith in the crucified and risen one and strength to let go and let God by prayer. Amen.